from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
In this episode, dear listener, we are going to get some insight from Mr. P on how to get more influence when no one's interested in what you have to say. And could that be you? It might well be, because Nigel, you've been speaking at events on this, and some straw polls of attendees and participants would suggest that this actually is an issue. People are not being heard. They've got stuff to say, but they're not being heard. They're not being listened to. And we all need to be listened to. So tell us all about it. Give us some tips.
Well, I did. It was an idea, basically, that I'm aware of this issue. And it's something that I've talked about to individuals over the years. And what I've learned over the years is that this is not an issue that only affects people under 25 or under 30 or below the rank of senior manager. It affects CEOs, that they feel they're not being listened to by the board. And when you talk, you find out that virtually everyone in the room thinks that they're the only one that can't have an impact and that no one's listening to. But everyone else, they get their voice heard. And as you go around the room, that's everyone's view. It's someone else is getting all the attention and not me. The truth is that often no one is getting the attention. So this is a bigger issue and a bigger challenge than we perhaps imagine on the surface. And I just wanted to surface that with a group of people. And I was speaking in Boston last night about it. And I was amazed at the level of interest and the range of people who were there. So it really is not an issue for people starting off their career. Yeah. It really affects people running all through their career. It's not an issue that affects women because they're not listened to, or men, or people of ethnic minorities. It affects everybody. And I've come up with a number of strategies which for sure work. Not every strategy works in every circumstance, because everything works in context. And I would never say, Martin, just do this, guaranteed success. But I would say, Martin, does that feel like you could have to give that a go? See if it works. If it doesn't, move on to the second strategy and the third and the fourth. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. But you've got to try, and you've got to recognize that I could do better at being listened to, and I have to make some effort. And if I sit back saying, well, I'm not going to say anything to anyone because they don't care about me, I won't care about them, that is the worst response. So silence is the worst response. And you've got to be slightly thick-skinned, not that you're ever going to be necessarily insulted, but you might find that a brilliant idea and a brilliant strategy that I've just told you to try has absolutely zero impact. That's okay. There are other ways of approaching it. It depends on the context. It depends on the people you're working with. So that's why there's a range of things that work. Do you want me to go through them quickly, Martin? Would that be helpful? Do you
think? Yeah, let's hear them.
Well, my first one is just to be super keen, but not super keen and garrulous, but super keen and paying attention. If you pay attention, you listen, you learn from what is worrying everyone else. What are the big challenges my organization faces? Listen to what many, many people say. And then you be the one to have an idea, make a suggestion, ask to join a task force or whatever it might be. But too many people are super keen and everyone's going, well, who cares? That's irrelevant. So be super keen, but focused super keen. I think that's really important. And it doesn't have to be, I'm a raving optimist. Super keen is just paying attention, listening, acting on what you hear, and making sure you really understand what's going on in the organization. And many people, from their perspective, think they understand. And as soon as they start to explore, they realize they don't understand at all. And my second one is an obvious one on the one hand, but people don't realize how powerful it can be. And that is, you should seek out a mentor in the organization. And not the obvious mentor, not the person who's just down the corridor, just a little bit ahead of you. Go for the person who you think could really help you, really make a difference. And recognize that, you know, in my rough rule of thumb, if five people are asked to mentor, wherever they are in the organization, three will say yes. Three might say yes with conditions, like I can only meet you twice, I can only do this for a month or 3 months, I can only meet you once every 6 months. Who cares? Just get those engagements in. And if you're getting someone who agrees to mentor you, don't walk in the room and say, well, what do you think? You go in with your agenda and say, these are the three points I want to talk to you about. And if you go through all of your agenda with that person, hey, that's it. Go find another mentor. Thank them profusely and move on. You don't have to have mentors for life. It can happen. But sometimes just a couple of insights, a couple of sessions can get you a long way. But so few people ask. And most people assume that I can't ask Martin Cousins. He's way too important. He will say no, he's not interested. Whereas Martin might be wildly enthusiastic about having the chance to find out a perspective from someone much further down the organization. And it particularly affects younger people coming in. You know, I daren't open my mouth. Rubbish. You know, you don't realize how important your perspective is for the chief executive downwards. So you have agency and you have currency. You can cash that in at any time in the organization. And the third one is, this is a technique generally that I recommend to people. And that is, prepare for every single meeting. See every meeting you attend as an opportunity, not a wretched nuisance. So don't just come in and go, oh, you're 5 minutes late. Yeah, what is it? Half asleep. Be early. You know, if you, particularly on Zoom, if you get in early, you've often got the chance to talk to the chair because they're there waiting for everyone else and you can engage them in conversation. Always look interested. You don't have to look glaringly, you know, garrulous and like that, but just to be in present and obviously present, smiling, recognizing what's going on, makes a huge difference because there's a whole bunch of people on the screen, particularly in a Zoom meeting, who are kind of looking into the middle distance, you know, looking like they could be fast asleep. It's only that the fact their eyes are open gives the clue. They don't move for 15 minutes. Don't be like that. And I always say to people, have one thing that you want to say at that meeting. Just one thing, learn it off by heart and say it. And if you can't find an appropriate moment, just say it anyway. Just go, I've got one point. And even if it's not relevant, it just gets you noticed. Ah, that Martin Cousins, he's had a good few points to make over the last few meetings. That's very interesting. Martin may be the person to watch it. Martin may be the person to promote, maybe the person to invite on a task force or whatever it might be. But if you sit there like a lemon, no one's interested. You know, how can anyone differentiate you from the other 18 lemons on the screen? Be the one who's engaged and looks like you're wide awake and has something to say. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the world's most boring meeting. Look interested. And the fourth one is, work out who are the movers and shakers in the organization and try and engage them. Offer to help. I recommend to people, say to that person, I love those ideas. Is there any way I can help? Now, there may not be, in which case they say, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. I'll bear that in mind. And you never hear from them again. But they've clocked you. There's a keening. There's someone who's interested. Or it may be, they say, yes, would you talk to six people in the organization and ask them these questions? I'd love to get some more feedback. Yes, of course I'll do that. And very rarely does someone then immediately expect you to take on a second full-time job. Most people are incredibly grateful for help. And most people will ask you, if they ask you to do anything, they'll ask you to do something quite small, but it gets you noticed. And in the exchanges, you've got the chance to ask questions, make a point, show that you've got interests and you are interesting, and you've got things to say. So, you know, it's a combination of those four things. And there are probably 500 others. But I guarantee that one of those will work. I absolutely guarantee it. But if you don't try any of them, don't blame me and say, oh, no one listens to me. Go through all four and then come back to me and say, you know, those four things you said, one of them will come. It didn't. Then there's an interesting conversation to be had. Probably let's leave the organization and find someone somewhere that is a bit more interested in you. But nevertheless, I think most people waste the opportunity to have power and influence in an organization because they think, oh, it's not worth it. Oh, no one ever listens to me. Give it a go. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. That's the point.
That's brilliant. Thank you for your insights.
Thank you, Martin. It's a pleasure as always.
From scratch.